Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, in that gospel lesson that I just recited for you, we find Simeon's song. Simeon was an old man, a very devout man, a very righteous man. That means that he tried to live in accordance with the law of God. And he was waiting patiently for the coming of the Christ child. He was waiting for God's Messiah to be sent to him. He had been, somehow it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had that opportunity to see that Messiah. And so, suddenly, there in the temple is the baby Jesus. Baby Jesus, about 40 days old, because that's how long that purification period took. And when he sees that baby, it's revealed to him that this is the one. This is the Christ. So he takes that baby and he lifts him up in his hands and he voices all of his joy and all of his satisfaction. And his words are known to you and me as the Nunc Dimittis. The Nunc Dimittis. I learned a new word yesterday. It's a nice Latin word. It's called incipit. Those words, Nunc Dimittis, are the incipit. We call the song by the first two words in Latin of that song. So that those two words, that's called the incipit. They're the first part of it. It's like the word creed. I always tell the kids that the Apostles' Creed, we use the word creed because in Latin, the first word of the Apostles' Creed is credo. Now I know credo is the incipit of the Apostles' Creed. Now you know it too. It's good to know a little Latin. Try to teach you a little bit every once in a while. So that incipit, those two words, luminous, mean now you dismiss. And today we're going to take a little closer look at the Nunc Dimittis. We sing it frequently. We want to see how our hopes are reflected in that song of Simeon as well. Simeon's song. Tomorrow morning, back there above where Kimmy is sitting right now, Bud Salent will be sitting there. I call Bud Salent Mr. Cub. He is the most ardent fan of the Chicago Cubs I've ever known. And that poor man had to wait near 80 years to finally see the Cubs win the World Series. Oh, was he in heaven that week. Right after the World Series was over, the Cubs won the World Champions. Bud just walked around, he had a grin on his face all the time. He knew what it was to wait. And he knew what it was to see all those hopes and all those dreams and all those hopes finally realized in seeing that championship. I thought of it, but when I was thinking about Simeon, Simeon had waited a long time. We don't know how old he is, but it's pretty obvious that he's 7 years. And the Lord has let him know that he's not going to die until he sees the Lord's faithful one. So he's devout and he's faithful and he's got the Holy Spirit on him. And he's waiting to see God's Christ, the Son. Then comes the baby Jesus. And in that baby Jesus, the Holy Spirit allows him to really see that in this child, in this baby. And you know, the interesting thing is, it doesn't indicate that Simeon was surprised that the Messiah was a child. Messiah was the baby. He's not surprised by that. And in a way, that's amazing because a lot of the other people in Israel at that time would not have expected that, would not have been as excited as Simeon is. But somehow the Holy Spirit lets him know this is the one. And so the result of that is he says, now I can die in peace. He's seen the one thing, the one person that he's been longing to see. He's been waiting for this moment. And now that he has seen this one, now that all of his hopes have crystallized, he says, Lord, now you can take me. Now I can die in peace. I'm ready because because I have seen it. And he's ready to die in peace because he sees that the Lord has now fulfilled what he had promised. The very thing that he had promised to Israel, not just to Simeon, but the very thing that God had promised to Israel for all these years, he sees that that has now come to fruition, that God has truly kept his word. And he says, and I saw it with my own eyes. What a marvelous thing it was for him to see this happen with his own eyes. And he says, and this is for the salvation of both Jew and Gentile. Did you see that? For the glory of your people Israel, that's an easy one. But to be the light that reveals you to the Gentiles. That was the part that a lot of Jewish people weren't very comfortable with back then. In fact, a lot of Jewish Christians early in the first century were not very comfortable with Paul out there evangelizing the Gentiles. They were thinking in order to be a good Christian, you had to be a good Jew first. And Paul is the one that says, no, that's not what this testament is all about. But Simeon, he's satisfied. And he's at peace. It's as though he says, now, Lord, now that I've seen your salvation, all is well with my soul. You can call me home anytime. We, of course, took Simeon's song, and we, the church universal, turned that into a post-communion canticle. That's when we sing Nunc Dimittis the most often. We have it in several different settings, and because we've sung it often, we know those settings well. That setting as a post-communion canticle. I always think to myself how fitting that is. You know, the confirmants and I have been talking about communion for a couple of weeks now. And I talked to them about, they sort of indicate to me, you know, they've been watching their parents and other people taking communion now for years. And a few of them probably at 3 and 4 year olds, when we come by with a host, they stick their hands out. In fact, I remember one seventh grader who just about every time tried to get, you know, tried to sneak one in on me. And they wonder, sometimes maybe even wonder aloud, when do I get that? When do I get to be part of that? And so talking with the confirmants, I try to imprint and impress upon them the marvelous gift it is they're going to receive. You know, we talk about the fact we don't give communion to just anybody, but that there's a requirement within the scriptures that you should be able to know what it is you're getting and why you're getting it. And while a 4-year-old or 5-year-old can certainly eat the host, it doesn't mean that they know what they're getting and why they're getting it. And so with the 8th graders, we spent some time talking about what this is that they're receiving and why this should be one of the most joyful things in their life ever. I don't know about you and I, you know, we're adults. And we've taken communion hundreds of times. And I wonder if sometimes we just get a little jaded with it, that we forget that when we come to that table, we are seeing God's salvation right before our eyes. We are in the presence of God himself. It's a that we get, and we receive it with joy, and we should receive it with satisfaction. And how fitting that Nunc Dimittis is. Those words, when we sing those after the communion, now you dismiss us. Yeah, we're dismissed because right there at the rail, we just touched Jesus. In his body, in his blood. And that host and that wine, there's more than just host and wine. And we have this marvelous opportunity to be in the very presence of Christ himself. And so when we sing, now dismiss us, we sing that because we have just been in his presence. And we think about the peace that we have. Peace that we have with God because he has invited us to that table so that we might have our sins forgiven, that we might have that relationship with him once again be made whole. So we have this up and down axis, but then there's also this axis, right? Because we come up here and we share the fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We might commune head had a communion rail with someone who was born in Africa, someone who was born in South America, in Mexico. You might take communion with someone who didn't grow up in the church and only recently has come to know Christ. And in all those cases, they're all our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we've got this access, this relationship is made whole with God, and this relationship made whole with one another. And so you see what it forms, right? It's that sign of the cross. It's once again, it's this great gift that God has given us. And we see it with our own eyes. It's a very personal relationship. It's a very personal experience. And you and I come and receive the very body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, and we participate in that, but it's not only a personal experience, but then we sing those words and in the sight of every people. Because when you and I take communion at that rail, we are making a confession to the world that we are Christians. You don't see Muslims take communion. You don't see Buddhists take communion. You don't see the unfaithful and the unbeliever take communion. The people who take communion are God's faithful people. And so when we take communion, we're saying to the world, I am a Christian. We are Christians. It's in the sight of all people. And so we're gifted. We're gifted with this real presence. We have Jesus right there, as close as we can get to him in this world. And we have that forgiveness of sins that we need to be reminded often that it's for Jesus' sake we're forgiven. It helps build our faith and strengthens us for the task of the week ahead. And it develops the fellowship amongst us, because when we come to that rail, we're all equal. We're all even. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ and the children of God. So it's a marvelous thing when we sing, now let your servant depart in peace. And the other thing I think about Anthemenos is how fitting that confession would be as our final confession. Lying on our deathbed, given the strength and clarity to say as Simeon did, Lord, now, according to your promise, you dismiss your servant in peace. Think about those days, too. I knew a woman here in the congregation at one time that she was dying. And she had children that lived in the area. She had a son that lived in California. And she had rather quickly taken a turn for the worse. And so the other ones told her, he's coming. He's coming, Mom. And we get on an airplane and fly all that way from California and get there. And so she held on and she held on. And finally, that son walked into the room. And the others all greeted up and walked over the bed. He took his mother's hand and he said, Mom, I'm here. And within 5 minutes, she was gone. It's the same kind of thing. It was as though now she was at peace. Now that she had them all together, she could let go and fly away. And I think to myself, how fitting this is as an expression of her faith in her hand. Ah, Lord, how you have blessed me. To know the peace of God, to be part of his church, to be blessed all through our lives in the high and good times and in those low and painful times, to know that we have a Savior who will never forget us. Our name is written in his book. We belong to him. And you say, I'm tuckered out, Lord. I'm all used up. But I'm at peace. Because I know where my home is. I know where I'm headed. I know that God has promised that. And so I have seen your salvation. I've seen it in my Savior Jesus Christ. I've seen it in the stories of his birth at Christmas. I've seen it at the cross on Good Friday. I've seen it before the empty tomb on Easter morning. I've seen it in my mind's eye. I've read it in his word. And it is his constant promise that when we hold to our Savior Jesus Christ, then we own the kingdom. And nothing that he has promised is going to be lost from us. No matter how things go, no matter how difficult it can get, we have a promise, and it's a promise that comes from one who keeps. keeps his word. That's what Simeon rejoiced in, is that when he sees Jesus and realizes that's the one, that's the Messiah, he rejoices because God keeps his word. So on that last day, we can say like Simeon, "Our Lord, now you dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation and the glory of your people Israel." Yeah, I commend myself in your hands. Why? Because I know I can trust you. We had a fellow here in the congregation by the name of Delbert Bishop. And Delbert was in World War II. I can't remember if he was a tail gunner or a belly gunner. I think he was a belly gunner on a B-17. He had trained here in the States. They had flown over to England. And he was on his first mission over Germany. And his plane got shot down. Mission number one. Delbert managed to bail out, parachuted down. But he had the misfortune of landing on a farmer's roof. And he slid down the roof and fell down into the garden and he broke his ankle. And he said, the first thing he remembered after hitting the ground and rolling over is he looked up and there was a German farmer with a pitchfork standing over him. And very quickly, Delbert Bishop became a POW. Delbert talked about how he longed to be released from that. A lot of hardship. That was near the end of the war. The German people themselves were destitute. So POWs got the worst food, the worst fare. They got no clothing. What they had on when they landed, that was pretty much all they had. And Delbert described that in some detail. He talked about his longing, how often he prayed that God would set him free. And that day came. There was that day when suddenly at the gate, instead of German guards, there were American GIs. And Delbert came out of that. Delbert went home. And he talked about how often he thanked God that he brought him through all of that. And then he let him come back home to his wife and to his family. And I think to myself, that's sort of how Simeon looked at it. It's sort of how you and I will have to look at it someday too. Whether we get old or young, whether we've got difficulties or things go well, there's going to come that moment too when God's going to call us out. But it's not to go down into a grave where we're lost forever, but rather that we're called out into a victorious army, into a place where God has already made promises that he's got our name written in the book, he's got our mansion prepared for us, and Jesus says, "Come, come and be with me that you may be where I am." And so there'll be times when we long for deliverance, trusting in that one who does what he says. And then we can say with Simeon, "Nunc dimittis, oh Lord, now you dismiss us in peace." Please rise.